Now, from Wall Street to the blogosphere, on today's Bloggers Roundtable, did African Americans make a statement during last week's boycott? And Senator Clinton's opponents accuse her of playing the gender card. With us today, Michael Fauntroy, Assistant Professor of Public Policy at George Mason University. He blogs at michaelfauntroy.com. Also, Earl Donovan from the blog Prometheus 6 and John McCann from the blog Book of John. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
So radio host Warren Ballantyne called for blacks to participate in a consumer boycott that occurred last Friday, National Blackout Day, in response to Gina Six and the hanging of nooses, and supposed to send a message to Capitol Hill. Earl, do you think that people actually adhered to the boycott?
Well, I know some that did, but overall, I just saw too many people going out to buy lunch, cigarettes, things like that. I don't think it was a big hit, to be honest. I'd like it to be. Okay, like for instance, today is Black Solidarity Day. It was off by a weekend. I'm wearing black. What the heck? It would be good to have such a thing where all black people could just pull together and make some symbolic statement regularly. But this wasn't it.
Michael, what about the whole idea of symbolic statements? There was a lot of questions that came up during Gina Six saying, oh, marching is so 1965, but it hit the headlines. What about economic boycotts? Did this boycott specifically, or will boycotts generally make a difference in terms of raising awareness or changing policy?
Well, I think occasional boycotts and symbolic acts such as boycotts can make a difference and can raise awareness of particular concerns that may be available or existing in the community at that particular time. But unless you have a long-term recalibration of how African Americans spend their money, I think in the long run, these short-term events such as the one that Warren Ballantyne tried to launch are going to be short-lived and ineffective.
Now, John, when you take a look at this, I mean, according to one study by the University of Georgia, African Americans spend more than $2 billion a day. First of all, can you expect there to be an African American buying group who says, collectively, we're going to take that $2 billion off the table? Do you expect that there's going to be a groundswell around what we consider traditional civil rights issues and that money will be used to leverage around those issues?
Nah, I mean, really, one day is just not going to give you that impact. I mean, if I'm a businessman, I'm thinking, okay, hey, if you boycott on Friday, fine. I can sit back and chill and wait for you to show up on Saturday. Now, maybe my attitude says something about me and my black solidarity. I mean, I didn't spend any money on Friday, but it wasn't because I was conscious of the boycott. In fact, I was in the woods all weekend at a Christian men's retreat, so I was tucked away and wasn't going to spend any money anyway. My last expenditure was that Thursday. I spent, $29 on some gas in my Honda Civic. Now, the thing is, I could stand up and say, hey, I didn't spend any money on Friday. But the thing is, a lot of folks could say, well, hey, if I know the boycott is going to be on Friday, I'll do all my spending Thursday and do it prior. So, to me, it's just more symbolic. If you're going to do something like this, it has to be long term and sustained for it to have any real value.
Michael, what about the whole idea of buy black? That's something that has come up, and it's in some ways similar to buy American. The whole idea of putting your money where your mouth is. Has that been something that people have really been thinking about lately, or do people think, well, you know what, I'm just going to buy what I'm going to buy and I'm going to use other means to support communities or even nations? How's that played out recently in terms of economics?
Well, I have to tell you, I live here in Washington, D.C., and there's always been a disconnect or a division at some level with regard to buy black campaigns. You know, a lot of African Americans around the country who talk about the importance of circulating money within the community and supporting black businesses. But when you talk to them and ask them, well, do you have your money in a black bank or are you subscribed to a black-owned newspaper? The answer is often no. So while I think that these sorts of things are important and you do hear about them, you hear conversations about them, the reality is these conversations and people actually putting their money where their mouths are is really, really much lower than it ought to be. And it's my hope going forward that we'll be able to have more sincere conversations about this and that people will understand that how you spend your money and where you spend your money not only says something about you, but says something about how business operators will respect you going forward.
Earl,
I think we need to get more, crossover thing going on. If you talk about the whole buying black thing, I mean, get some white folks, get some Hispanic folks or whoever to get on board with you and say, hey, you know, we see a need, help us to meet this need. I don't like to be exclusive about it and saying that black people support black people. If there's a need, if there's a problem, if there's an issue of racism, we're not going to solve it by ourselves as black people. We need to get everybody to come to the table and participate in this thing.
I want to actually move us on to politics. There's a couple big topics, Hillary Clinton, Fred Thompson. Earl, Senator Hillary Clinton's opponents pulled out their boxing gloves and accused her of playing the gender card. And so last Friday, Senator Barack Obama said that Clinton was playing the gender card for saying, "Don't pick on me," after being attacked during the presidential debate. And Clinton said she was being forced, quote, to compete in the all-boys club during the election run. Do you think that that's fair on either side, accusing someone of basically being thin-skinned or accusing the other side of using gender as a weapon?
Well, yes, frankly. I mean, there are thin-skinned candidates, and that's going to be a point that you can bring out. That's going to be a point you can play off. Senator Clinton definitely played the gender card, no doubt about it. She backed away from it with the quickness, okay, because it was absurd. She's got to play on the same field as everyone else. But she did go after that gut reaction from the women. My daughter gets me for saying female instead of women. She got the gut reaction from the women in the world. It's like, what? Those guys are jumping on her. Now, they'll back off and think about it. They'll make their judgments, but they've still got that initial gut reaction that they're going to be factoring into it. So I think she was successful at it, but she definitely did it.
Do you think that's fair, John? Do you think it's fair for a female candidate, no matter how powerful, to say, you know, gender is playing a role in this?
No, it's not fair. And Obama is absolutely right that she was playing the gender card. But let me say this, at the same time, you know, I'm not necessarily loving on Obama right now anyway, because all they're doing is playing the game. The thing I don't like about this whole thing is that, yeah, while Obama is right that Hillary pulled out this gender card, let me tell you what, if Hillary Clinton ends up getting the nomination, guess who's going to be right there clamoring for a job, clamoring to be vice president? Barack Obama. So if you hate on Hillary Clinton now, when the time comes for the nomination, you got to still have that same type of hate, and I'm hate politically speaking.
Ryan, let me go the other way on this.
Okay.
You know, politics is a bottom line business. And the reality is you have to do whatever you think you need to do to win. Now, 54 to 58% of American voters, depending on the source, are women. She'd be a fool to not try to reach out to women. And quite frankly, you know, it seems to me that the reason why these candidates are upset about it is because they can't use that to their own benefit, just as other candidates can't use their race as a benefit to the extent that Barack Obama can. You know, they all sort of have to back off of Hillary Clinton when it comes to gender issues. And so I'm not terribly bent out of shape about it. In the long run, it's not going to make much of a difference, because the people who are going to make the decision on electing her are going to do so on a range of issues, and I think gender is going to find itself down the list a bit.
All right, guys, well, just stay with me. We're going to be back with more of the Bloggers Roundtable, talking to Michael Fauntroy of michaelfauntroy.com, Earl Donovan of Prometheus 6, and John McCann of The Book of John.